for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, December the 29th, 2007. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on the spirit of arrested development.
Well, Cheryl, the rest of the afternoon belongs to you and Jesus.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all can't be sleepy. You can't be sleepy. I am honored to be here today. I've been at Lake Hamilton, I guess now going into my eighth year, and it has been a journey. It has been a journey for me. It has been a journey. I've watched myself grow in ways that I had not anticipated. I've accepted musical style that I never thought I would accept. I have found friends in people that other people may not have thought that I would find, friends and family and loved ones in this house. And I'm grateful to be here today. As I knew that I was going to speak sometime during winter camp, I didn't know exactly when. I started making preparations and seeking out, folks and, trying to find that right personality, that right person to lead, to take care of my mom. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, my brother decided that he was going to come back for Christmas. He had come Thanksgiving. So that was good. And then yesterday afternoon, another young lady who absolutely loves my mom called and said, so you're going to minister tomorrow? I said, yes. She said, what time? And I told her. And she says, well, I'll come over. So there are two people at home with her, which was really a blessing for me, because I've taken my mom and I've seen what happens at the nursing homes. And it's not an option, folks. It's just not an option. And I think as we grow older and we realize, I said to myself, I said, Lord, I think I want to go like Smith Wigglesworth. I'm going to follow behind Glenn. That when I go, I'm just going to be standing up here preaching, and y'all going to look at me, and I'm going to say, there's Jesus. And you're going to go, whoa. I think that's the best way for the saints of God to go. And if we continue to believe in God, if we continue to believe in deliverance and the powerful healing that the Lord wants to give to us in His Word, through His people, and just by being in the flow of what He's doing, listening prophetically and having a greater understanding of the direction that God wants to take you in your life, I think that you'll find that as we move closer and closer to end times, we're going to be living longer. We're going to live longer because the people that are coming on behind us, the people that are coming on behind us need what we have. So if you're thinking at this point that you're a certain age and that you've reached that point where you have nothing else to give, I want you to rethink your thinking. Because as we live longer, baby boomers are going to be living longer. And there are people behind us that some of them have never seen the miracle working power of God. Some of them have never even been loved the way that God loves us. Their idea, the expressions of love that they have in their lives are so far removed from the things that we know. So far removed. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. The more that I am at home and away from the saints of God and have to get my word, from the television and from music and stay before the Lord myself and don't always have the privilege of congregational singing, congregational prayer. There's power in being among the saints and in the congregation. So don't take it lightly, because the time will come when we'll find ourselves separated and not able to meet in large groups. And we're going to have it on the inside, and it's going to have to work for you.
Amen.
It's going to have to get you through some times when there's clinging and banging going on in your head by winds of doubt that you're not going to make it, that you didn't really hear from God. And anybody that ever says that, oh, I never have been there, then I don't know what walk you're on, but you're certainly not on the walk of the saints, because everybody comes to that place and that point, amen? They do. They do. They come to that place where you can be worn down. But I find that in the wearing down, it's never like wearing down like you were worn down when you first came to the Lord. There's a wearing down level by level, step by step, precept by precept, to get you to the level that God wants you on. So the level that I felt worn down in and worn down on was not the first level that I felt worn down on. This is probably the third time in my life in walking with the Lord that I felt worn down and I'm not going to make it. But that was because He was beginning to show me another part of myself that I couldn't accept the second time He wore me down. Anybody been there? Yes. Amen. Today, I believe that God wants me to talk to you about a subject that I have taught before. As Pastor Glenn, I love to call him Pastor Glenn. He says he's the overseer, but that's Pastor Glenn to me. So as Pastor Glenn was saying about our tapes and our CDs and our DVDs going out across the country, I was sent an email where a gentleman had heard Arrested Development, which I had taught before, and he wants to come to the United States and come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I invited him to come so that he can be refreshed. I don't know if he'll make it, but I did extend the invitation, and he was impressed with that particular teaching on arrested development. And as I was seeking the Lord about it, I asked him, you know, what was I going to teach on? And he said to teach on that. And now the mandate is very clear, because I've been, and Glenn also, Pastor Glenn also knows this, that there have been people that have been encouraging me to write. And I had gotten some of it together. I got, you know, some of the material together based on some of the teachings that I've done. So what you're going to be hearing today is part of the book that I know now that God wants me to write. And it's only a portion, because Arrested Development is going to be what we're going to talk about this afternoon. And it ties in very closely to what the ladies received upstairs from Jerry this afternoon. And there are lots of demons that work with Arrested Development. We're going to start right there. Arrested Development. Arrest means to stop, to put something in hold, and to bar, and to hold it down so that it cannot move. Development means that it's stopping something that should grow and it should move from step to step, from glory to glory, from one place to another. So the spirit is chronic arrested development. And what it does is it stops you from growing past the age of 13. No, it sounds strange, but if you listen closely to the teaching, and hey, Doc, God bless you. Doc also pushed me on this one too, so I'm grateful to God to be surrounded by elders who are encouraging and not, you know, trying to hold you back, but encourage you to do things. And I believe that God has a word for you today on the spirit of arrested development. And as we all know, when the spirits come, they do not come one at a time. But they normally show up like pigs in the parlor, several all together. There has been very little said on the spiritual, physical, and mental development of our children pursuant and to biblical principles. And since most of us are the first out of our families to begin to walk in the ministry of deliverance and to begin to walk in a relationship with the Lord, I would like to ask you for just a moment to see yourself as children. Go back and see yourself as we begin to minister this at home. This spirit works in the mind and normally starts with children. see yourself as a child and the things that happened to you when you were a child, not in a negative manner, but in a way that would allow you to see and to let the Holy Spirit lead you as to whether or not this may be a spirit that has not been dealt with within yourself. And as you do that, of course, then you will also see those spirits that are in your children and your grandchildren. But you also may see it most definitely in yourself. Since most of us were never scripturally trained or nurtured by our parents, we can hardly expect perfectly trained children. However, biblical discipline in the lives of ourselves and our children will help build a character of God in us and our descendants as well. The process of training our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord begins when the child is right in the womb, right after conception. At that time, the father can pray over the mother's womb and speak words of life to the unborn child. He can do this by reading scripture, comforting the new life and welcoming it as a great prize to the family and not as an intruder. When the child is born, the process continues. Both parents should take a strong role in instructing the child. Let's go to Isaiah 5:13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity, and because they have no knowledge. Are you there yet? It's like the kids in the car. Are we there yet? All right. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. So, if we do not start our children off in biblical principles and raising them up, they go into captivity. And as we look at our own lives, we can see how along the way from children to where we are now, the captivity that came into our lives before we were 13 years old. Many of us have memories of things that happened to us before we turned 13. And those were very pivotal things in our lives that either caused trauma, and with trauma, the door opens, spirits of fear, all of these things would come into our lives when we have no biblical training. When you have biblical training, it says that our goal must be to fill them with Jesus at an early age. If our parents are negligent in training and instructing us in the character of God, we can now change that cycle for our descendants. Let's go to these other scriptures, and I've chosen the Amplified Version so it may not read the way that mine does. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds and is the fruit of his father's instruction and correction, but a scoffer, listens not to rebuke. Amen? Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So the Bible is very clear about the biblical teaching and instruction that we should be giving our children. And as we give them those instructions, as we place those scriptures on their hearts, and as they are in our hearts, and we begin to speak the word over our children, it begins to follow a pattern. It's like water dripping. It'll wear a rock down if it just keeps dripping. You keep speaking the word over the children from conception until they reach the age of adulthood and they leave your home. After that, they're on their own. But guess what? You have done what you're supposed to do. And God has no other choice at that point but that to keep his word to you by keeping his hand on your children because you have been obedient, which is a strong word in raising our children and in our own lifestyles, and that is being obedient. Even the Song of Solomon 8:2 says, I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother who would instruct me. I would cause you to drink spiced wine and of the juice of my pomegranates. So all through the Bible, the Lord is showing, God is telling us that we need to instruct our children. It is not an if, it is not a maybe. It is a part of the roadmap of life that he has given to us. In Proverbs 22:6, again the Amplified Version, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, that's the water, dripping water on the rock. The dripping water on the rock. All children are important in God's eyes, even those that are still in the womb. Parents are responsible for their children, not schools or the government or any other thing that people find comfort in believing. If parents perform their biblical responsibilities toward their children, when the temptations of the world come, the children will be able to take a firm stand against those temptations as the character of God has been ingrained into them. Our obedience, and I've said this before over and over again, on the other side of our obedience is someone else's salvation, someone else's healing, someone else's deliverance. And it starts right in your home with your children. When we're obedient to the word, when we're obedient to do what God has told us to do. And even after our children have grown up, I see in the spirit from even my own experience, as we continue to allow the word to work in us and our children come home to visit, to stay temporarily, come home for Christmas, if the word of God is being allowed to work in you, there's more wisdom in you than it was when they were little. There's more wisdom, there's more power, there's more going on inside of you. You should be able to read them, you should be able to read them like a book. You should be able to read them like a book and be able to spot the things that are troubling them, spot the things that are challenging them. And the more God you get in you, the less pride there is that you have to deal with. So when you see yourself operating in them, it seems like to me it should be awfully easy to say, let's just sit down here and just have a glass of water or a cup of coffee. I got something I need to talk to you about. And the same experiences that you have had in your lifetime that caused you to make certain mistakes, and you see that thing operating in them, you should be able and willing to say, now listen, this is what happened to me when I let the same spirit I'm looking at in you right now do thus, thus, and so. And I'm telling you right now, you need to get prayer. We need to pray for this before you leave the house today, because it's not a good thing. And this is what it's going to cause you to do. And we should be open. Now, I'm still talking about moving into and understanding the spirit of arrested development. Arrested development will not allow you to have that kind of conversation. I'm not taking no bunny trail. Arrested development will not allow you to have a mature, intelligent conversation with anybody based on biblical principles at all. You will always take a bunny trail. You will always deflect and move away from truth. Our obedience and training our children in the nurture and admiration of the Lord will result in a child who can now independently respond to all temptation from Satan with a strong no. I can't do that because I belong to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:16. But avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. So we need to study to show ourselves approved, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. What am I saying here? I'm saying don't sit up and have careless conversations with people just to hear yourself talking. And especially your children. Some people like to hear themselves talking. And I think just listening on a part when I wasn't getting my own personal deliverance, thank you very much, that Jerry was saying upstairs, a lot of that is religious spirits. You're so religious. You've gotten to a point where you just got some word in you, you have received some deliverance, and now you're just so religious, you want the whole family to get saved overnight and forget what they saw you doing 20 years ago, and you're just going to keep going on and on and on and on again instead of getting real. And if you can't get real, if when they begin to look at you and not receive what it is you have to say, why does it have to be them? Perhaps your own arrested development mixed with the religious spirit is causing them not to hear you. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. If we will study the Word of God and bring our children into an understanding And don't send them outside to children's church unless in children's church they are studying the word and eating pizza. Because Satan is very interested in our children. He likes to get them young. Using the age-old tactic of division, husband against wife, wife against husband, daughter against mom, son against father, causing the entire family to get off the righteous track. That's where he comes in. That's what he wants to see. Because once mom and dad are at odds with each other, then the children will move right into it when there is no godly teaching going on. So you have to be aware of when the manipulation and the control begins to start. Because the thing about arrested development not allowing you to grow past 13, what happens before the ages of 13? There's one spirit that operates before the age of 13, before the age of 7, that every child, I don't care color, creed, cultural background, is selfishness. It's selfishness. Selfishness is going to be the basis for any for working with the spirit of arrested development. If you find that you are dealing with selfishness a lot in your life in certain areas and you're hitting pride and you're saying, oh, I got pride, so pride is connected to selfishness. Yes, it is. But arrested development has a lot to do with that too. I want my own way. I did it my way. I want this Burger King the way that I want this Burger King life. I don't want no more drama. I gave my testimony once and I don't want to have to give it again to my kids. It's not like that. You have to connect the dots. Every lesson that you get from every minister that stands before you has a place within your life, but it's going to eventually connect back around to something else. That's why sometimes people think you get on a bunny trail because you go from pride to selfishness and then you come back around to arrested development. They're all working together. Selfishness works with arrested development. Prior to the age of 13 and 7, at the age of 2 and 3, mine. No. Mine. No. You say, oh, ain't that cute? For just a little while, and then pretty soon you begin to realize we got to get them past mine and no. It's innate in a child to selfishly say, mine, mine, no, and not share. In John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God warns us that the devil is dangerous. So it's not like we don't have a roadmap that tells us what the devil is about. However, we are not to run from him, but respect the danger that he represents. And as we do that, we prepare ourselves and we prepare our children so they are endowed with the reality of what the world is. Because when we build ourselves up and build our children up with the reality of life, that God is all powerful, that the devil is not to be feared, but he is to be respected as very dangerous. Jude 1:9 said, but when even the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, judiciously argued or disputed about the body of Moses, he dared not presume to bring an abusive condemnation against him, but simply said, the Lord rebuke you. He just stood back. He was not afraid of him. He knew his enemy and he knew his rights. And that is how we have to minister unto our children. That the devil is real. He is not running around in a red suit with the long tail. He might be on GQ. He's probably on the TV and operating through the family next door. You have to realize that he is a dangerous opponent. A demon manifested in a woman. There was a woman that had attended a healing and deliverance prayer meeting with her mother. The woman's mother was instrumental in a dedicated prayer warrior in setting her daughter free from demonic difficulties. As a child, the daughter had been dedicated to Satan's work in a ritual by her father, a respected professional businessman deeply involved in witchcraft, unbeknownst to his wife.
A demon manifested in this woman, stating that as a little girl she had been placed in a coffin as part of the ceremony of dedication. Although the father was in the sight of God, the spiritual covering, this child, of course, was open up to a lot of demonization. The cruel demons quickly began their work of destruction, both in the child and her mother. She was tormented and suffering, and none of this had been expected. The mother is serving the Lord. She didn't know what was going on. So they had increasing problems. As they began to minister to this young lady, it took a long time, for this is not a quick deliverance. Over a period of time, they began to minister to her, and this demon came out. And it came out, and they found out through spiritual warfare that she had a spirit of arrested development. John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Demons are liars, so don't be talking to demons unless you are Holy Ghost led. They'll take you down a real road. So you don't make a habit of going around and talking to them and trying to get information. But there are times when you are being led by the Holy Ghost that you can get key information when you are working with someone to minister deliverance, so that you can put the axe to the root and get them set free. Now, the function of this demon is to arrest development in a young person and always bring them back to age 13 and younger. He claims to have authority over homosexual spirits. They entered in before age 13. He claims to have authority over spirits influencing girls to be a tomboy in order to please her father. The demon will stir up the desire through the spirit passed on by ancestral curses, or may enter by molestation, incest, rape. The lesbian spirit is under the control of arrested development and begins to operate at age 13. This powerful demon claims the lesbian and homosexuals are really 13 years old. And if you watch him, sometimes those who are unfortunate enough to be harassed by this particular demon are rather childlike in their attitudes and the things that they do. And a lot of times you will look at them and their physical characteristics are not very mature. Some look very young. Look like 12 or 13 years old in their physical makeup, and they may be 27 or 28 years old. That is a sign, perhaps, of arrested development. Not everything is the same thing. I'm not giving you something that's written in stone. I'm giving you something that just might be the situation in a particular place, in a particular time. So always pray and always ask the Lord. But in some instances, this is what you're dealing with. The demon is also called the chronic prince of arrested development. As the demon was involved in the deliverance of the woman mentioned, he wanted to kill this woman. Again, John 10:10. So he tried to take her back to the age of zero, where she was floating in the womb. He also operated through suffocation, drowning, choking, obstruction of breathing, difficult pregnancy, and crib death. He tried to have her put things hastily into her mouth, like little kids, so that she would choke on candy and food. In general, the person infested by these demons will age normally on the outside, but be immature on the inside. Arrested development spirits claim to be sent by Satan personally. I think they're all sent by him, but this spirit is pretty strange, and it does have a lot of power. The demon stops process past age 13. You can't go past age 13, and brings the victim to any age it wants from 0 to 13. Sight experience. A woman, 75, 76 years old. Family had promised her they were going to bring her, give her a check to help her pay her bills and do some things, and it was supposed to be a certain amount of money. They brought her the check. The check was not for the amount that they told her it was going to be about. She threw the check down on the floor, ran, jumped up in the bed, pulled the covers up over her head, and began to cry. I witnessed it. I was like,
arrested development. She did not know how to verbalize her disappointment that they did not keep their word, they did not do what they said they were going to do. So like a 13-year-old, she went and jumped in the bed, pulled the covers up over her head so she didn't have to deal with it. The effects of this are devastating. At age 13, a person is too young to work and can't hold a job. The victim is unable to deal with the problems of an adult and becomes a job hopper. Do you know any job hoppers? And unreliable. The arrested development spirit does not hinder the person from learning in school or affect the person's studies, the ability to study. But as in the case of this woman who got deliverance, the spirit would not allow her to make plans to marry or have children. For at 13, you are too young to marry or even date. It would make her cry like a 2-year-old and embarrass her. This spirit got this woman to be skinny like an 8-year-old and influenced her to dress like a boy, be sloppy, unkempt, slouch, and walk like a boy. The spirit operated to frustrate the woman by urging her to take a part-time job after school. However, she was unable to cope with it due to the insecurity of only being 13 years old. Most persons with arrested development are unable to marry, but even if they do, it does not last. 13 is too young even to really babysit, let alone raise children. The person is always waiting and waiting until next year. The demon claimed to be able to enter anyone that has demons already. He makes them take drugs to be passive and sleep for hours at a time. He has a prince and a deputy who live in the minds of the person to make sure that they do not advance past the age of 13. That's why when you see people with strong, comes to mind in my spirit is procrastination and escapism. Do you have people that sit in front of the TV for hours at a time, just clicking it, going back and forth? You know, watching TV, they just, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours. It's a form of escape. It's like a drug. And at night, people who are 13 and under, if you sit them in front of the TV, that's all they'll do. They just sit there. Why would an adult do that? At age 36, this woman who experienced the deliverance was prevented from thinking past 13. Even her professor at the university she attended stated that she acted like she was 19 going on 13. Note that mentally challenged persons are not immature. They work and some get married. They are slow learners and are hindered by learning by disabilities, and sometimes that can be a curse of pride. But that is still not arrested development. Those who collect dolls and stuffed animals as grown-ups are arrested in their development a lot of times. They do childish things, such as playing with toys on their desk when at work. The demon also causes the person to drink. So you could go into a whole teaching on drinking and alcoholic syndrome, and it will bring you back to arrested development. It causes someone really old to throw a temper tantrum, a real temper tantrum, in order to have their way. Drug users will have arrested development because they are unable to solve daily problems. Also, those that run a lot and feverishly exercise all the time, a lot of times they have arrested development too. What is the one thing that you find that children don't have? And it may look like schizophrenia. It may look like manic depressive because they're up high, they fall down low. But it could also be arrested development because there's no balance. There's no balance. They can't balance their lives. They're either crying and depressed, or they're happy and they're up, which is how a 13-year-old is. Or if you watch them, the personality changes from a 2-year-old or acting like they're 2 or 3, and then they go to 13, and they're just not going to be able to get like that. 40 years old, and you can still see that spirit operating in them. There's an unbalance there where they can't grow up. They do everything. It's all the way or nothing. It's an attitude that they have. There's no balance. 13-year-olds are unable to make decisions when shopping. Have you ever gone shopping with anyone that just can't make up their mind? Might be arrested development. Even cooking and cleaning is a problem for them, as they still want to be dependent on someone and will sometimes marry a person who will fill this role. So there again, codependence enters in. So while you're dealing with codependence, oh, just for the heck of it, hit arrested development and see what happens. Now, I hope that you can see that here there are loads and loads of demons that can line up with this demon. And you can be casting out demons and never realize that this is the demon that's really in operation. There is a range of behavior characterizing a person with arrested development. The demon causes a 1-year-old to scream for attention. A 2-year-old screams, throws temper tantrums, and also puts things in his or her mouth. At 9 years old, the child may be attracted to a molester. At 11, he causes the girl to be squawny and gawky looking. At age 12 years old, he embarrasses her because of her monthly and any ugliness in her body, anything that she would consider ugliness. That's where a spirit will come in, called a spirit of ugliness. When they look in the mirror, they don't see what God has created. They don't see the beauty in how God has created them. They see ugliness. The demon makes the young girl believe that she is dirty and she will never be able to clean herself. Arrested development has many friends in prison. And he causes the criminals to go back on the street and commit the same crimes again. Arrested development manifests in the person to keep them keep their understanding at age 0 to 10. Such persons are unable to learn from their experiences. Do you know anybody? They're unable to learn. Arrested development has a 10-year-old cousin called chronic offender. A related spirit, too, is anorexia nervosa, which causes anorexia between ages 0 to 8. The girl doesn't want to grow up. The girl doesn't want to have a monthly. She doesn't want to face the responsibilities of life and the world. Arrested development spirits operate in the mind along with the spirit of mind control. As believers, we are to take authority in the name of Jesus Christ and cut across the network of demonic communication, giving the wrong signals to our minds, will, and emotions. And I know that you heard this saying about people going down the same road, doing the same thing, getting the same result. It's arrested development. As we receive deliverance from these spirits, we can be free of their influence and bondage. Arrested development demons are a grouping of demons that have been exposed, and sometimes psychiatrists will diagnose arrested development as a mental disease and prescribe medication and therapy. Schizophrenia, manic depressive, arrested development. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. It says what? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. So now we understand that parents have a responsibility of allowing their children to grow up. You can't hold them. You have to let them grow up. So speaking like a child, we all know adults and parents who speak like children. And many act foolish and irresponsibly, understanding like a child. There are many people with no scriptural knowledge who ignorantly continue in their confusion, thinking like a child. People who do drugs and alcohol before they have children, or while there is conception going on, those children are born with the alcoholic syndromes and alcoholic patterns, and for sure they probably will have arrested development because the parents had arrested development because they were doing the drugs and stuff while they were in conceiving the child. So I'm telling you, it all makes this circle. And if we will just add arrested development to those demons that we already work with, we'll find more and more people being set free. These people find it difficult to react to the conditions around them. They are unable to participate in life. So many are not sociable outside their small circle of friends. A very small circle of friends. They cannot balance having more than just a few friends at a time, because they can't balance all the different personalities and the different mood swings that this demon takes them on. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, 23-25. Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to his years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This was because Pharaoh's daughter received Moses when he was 3 months old. She proceeded to have his real mother nurse him, and it speaks about that in Exodus 2, 7-10. So Moses had yet enough training and enough proper scriptural training in the short time he spent with his mother that it superseded his formal Egyptian training to become, in all probability, the Pharaoh of Egypt. So what that's saying once again is, as you put the teachings of the Lord in the child, no matter how single or not, putting the Word of God into our children is going to be the thing that's going to stop them at a certain point. At a certain point, there's going to be a coming together. There's going to be a hitting where the Word that you have placed in that child is going to come full force in their life, and probably at a very strategic time. An example of single parenting, of course, is with Timothy, as he was raised by his godly mother and grandmother. These women were spiritual giants approved by the Apostle Paul. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers and later was raised up to be a mighty, wealthy, and influential ruler, yet could not forget the godly influence of his father Jacob and mother Rachel and the scriptural teachings. In Psalms 131, 1 and 2, "Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child." We talk about watching and praying, that when you're watching, you're quiet. Your soul is still and you're quiet. And if you can't be quiet, if your soul is not quiet, where you can watch and wait, then maybe you have arrested development. Maybe some people think it's schizophrenia because, you know, they talk a lot. Maybe it's a combination thereof. Maybe it keeps you from focusing. You know, a lot of times we say that children have ADA. They're all over the place, and sometimes we're all over the place. And it may be in this every area of our lives, just in some areas of our lives, because the Spirit only affects us in that area. We can be on jobs, and in certain areas we can learn and be successful. But then all of a sudden we don't want that job anymore. We are ready to leave that job and ready to go to another job for no apparent reason. And there's a habit and a pattern over and over again. And if it's not you, if it's somebody you know, perhaps this is what's going on in their life. Proverbs 20:11 says, "Even a child is known by his acts, whether or not what he does is pure and right." A child's acts may show signs of stubbornness and rebellion and the possible need for correction. Jesus loved the little children and warned us not to stop them from coming to him. Luke 18:16, "But Jesus called them to him and said, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." This can be taken to mean that parents ought not to hinder their children from coming to Jesus. To facilitate, the parents need to teach scriptural daily and to give needed correction. I believe in Luke 2:42-6, Jesus himself astonished the wise men with his knowledge. And that was during the time that he was in the temple. They were saying to themselves, "What kind of child is this? Where did this child come from? How did he come to have so much knowledge?" He was only 12 years old at the time. And it was because his parents had raised him with scripture. The education of our children is our responsibility, yet most parents fall short of this responsibility. There has been no scriptural discipline or correction, and very little of the Word of God taught to them. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, withhold not correction from the child. For if you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. And when we say don't to beat the child, of course I don't mean they beat them within an inch of their lives like you've absolutely lost your mind, you know, and slap them across the room, big hickeys on their head and all that stuff. I'm not talking that. What I am saying is, though, that you, and you know they need to be disciplined. The love of the Lord should be in you enough to say, okay, go to your room. You go somewhere and pray in tongues for about 15 or 20 minutes so you can get that off of you. And then you go in and you talk to the child. And then if you need to spank them, then they should be spanked. And they should understand that the spanking comes every time you do this. It's like anything else. What happens when we see the child continually going to the stove or continually heading to the outlet with a fork because they see a stick stuff in it? We go, ooh, ooh, ha, and you hit their hand. It's the same thing. Eventually, if you do it enough, that particular behavior, you let them know is unacceptable, and they will stop doing it. And as they grow older and begin to understand the Word of God more, the way you teach it to them, the way you break it down to them, they will then begin to understand and they will begin to walk in the precepts of the Lord. So if parents do their job, God makes them a promise that their children will not die. If we want better lives for our children, then we need to regularly practice correction. Single parents may also find help in correcting their children through the pastor and the elders of the church who are obligated to help you with their education and discipline. Now, I know that that's a hard one because we don't find that in a lot of the churches that is being practiced. There's so many lawsuits and so forth going on, but it's in the Word of God. It is in the Word of God. So if it's in the Word of God and God is telling us, then it's okay. So what is happening is we have to decide whether we're going to live by, like Moses' parents said, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So are we going to be afraid of what the world is going to do to us, or are we going to hear what God is telling us in the Word about raising our children so that we can prepare them for what's out there in the world? The fruit rarely falls from the tree. Most of us can see our parents in us for good or bad. Proverbs 29:15 through 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Once the child, you keep telling them, don't, ooh, ooh, hot. Now he's wise. I've seen many children have smaller children under them, and the smaller child heads for the stove or something they're not supposed to touch, and they go, ooh, hot, ooh, hot, Wisdom. Now he's passing it on. Okay? I mean, it's for real. But a child left to himself brings his mother shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give the light unto thy soul. What all parents want is for their children to do well. Respect them and experience abundant peace in every area of their lives. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This is a warning to all parents to not allow anger to control you in correction and the discipline of your child. As a parent, you are not to punish your child beyond his capacity. The training is in the hands of the parents. 1 Timothy 1:6-7. From which some, having served, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So let's stop talking religiosity and let's talk for real to our children and to those that we are witnessing to. As I read this information and the revelation of arrested development came, And it came, of course, to me always. I don't know how experiences come to you, but a lot of experiences come to me right in my own house, right in my own sin. And I saw a lot of arrested development. I was like, okay. It is my prayer that you will understand that arrested development is a mean taskmaster. It is not just a little bitty demon that you've heard about it today. It must be important, otherwise God would not have asked me to highlight it to you again. This demon is connected to other demons and can cause much embarrassment. It can cause you to mess up your credit because you go out and buy things, and then once you buy it, it's all pretty and you like it, but you can't stay on the job long enough to pay for it. So it is not a demon that you need to thrust off. Arrested development, a prince, a chronic offender, anorexia nervosa, and mind control all operate. All of these things are operating within and under arrested development. And I just thank the Father for this revelation, and I pray that you will have revelation, knowledge, and understanding based on the information that I have given you at this time. There is embarrassment, there's pride, shame, and guilt, and condemnation, double-mindedness, unreliable, frustrated, indecisive, mixed up, confused. There's a good soul tiebreaker, and that's because the person is waiting for things to change. Always waiting for things to change. Always saying, it's going to get better tomorrow. Trapped. It's going to get better tomorrow. All I have to do is sit here. They can never develop relationships that are going to be relationships that go with them through life. They can't. They don't know how. Procrastination, a passive spirit, escape through drugs, mind control, fear, addiction, toys, alcohol, drugs, reefer, uppers, downers, control through temper tantrums, fickle-minded. These are actors and actresses who play a role because they've got all the glitz and the glamour. We call some women ghetto fabulous. They get up and they stand before you, and from the top of their head to the very soles of their feet, everything is matching, everything is in order, everything looks good. But they got 6 babies at home and none of them got the same daddy. Looking for love in all the same places, all the wrong places. After they have the 6 babies at home, somebody else is knocking on the door, coming by at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Stayed about 5 or 6, get up and leave, and there she is again, going down the same road, doing the same thing. She can't make a decision about who should be and who should not be in her life. Then you got the player. He's doing the same thing. He can't make up his mind what he want to do either. He's sleeping with Mary Sally Joan. He's 25 years old and got 9 babies by 6 different women. May not want to watch Maury or Jerry Springer, but I tell you one thing, you watch Jerry Springer or Maury for about 1 or 2 days, you'll see what kind of shape the world is in. Just watch it one day. And see what women are taking from men just to have a man in the house. Arrested development, afraid to be alone, afraid to say no. They play the roles but they can only play the role for so long and then they stop. Screaming childlike codependence on you to have you make all of their decisions. And after you make all of their decisions, if anything goes wrong, then they blame you. Well, you did it. Things in the mouth, such as sucking their thumbs, sucking their fingers, sucking their arms, bottles, cigarettes, beer, pop, just always got to have something in their mouth. And being attracted to child molesters. A person who has arrested development is attracted to people who mean them no good because they have the inability to discern who is good for them and who is bad for them. There's much embarrassment that happens with the boys as well as the girls with this spirit. They are ashamed of who they are and they are ashamed of their bodies. All of these things have followed them even though they may be 30, 40, or 50 years old. The way they perceive themselves is the way they saw themselves before and at age 13.
and they never grow up beyond that. They do not learn from their experiences. That's the chronic offender again. They keep doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same result, and they never stop. They just keep going like the little bunny. They cannot help it because they have the inability. They just don't have the ability to stop. So when I pray for someone that has arrested development, I usually start at age 2. And if led by the Holy Spirit, I may start within the womb, especially if I've been talking with them and they've shared with me a family style, a lifestyle where the parents were abusers and they were not godly parents. Then that means how were they conceived? They were probably conceived in lust. And they were probably conceived when one or both parents were either on some kind of drugs or something of that nature, or maybe even it was rape. But either one of those demons would be an open door to arrested development. So you start praying for that person at age 2 under the leading of the Holy Spirit and call out those things that happened to them at age 2 as revealed by the Holy Spirit. And then you move on to age 3. And as the Holy Spirit continues leading you, call out things at age 3. The things that we discussed earlier about 3-year-olds and how they throw temper tantrums. Begin to call those things out. And things like molestation and rape and incest at age 3. And then release the person and let them go in Jesus' name. And begin to loose the spirit of maturity. That's the point we want to get to. Begin to loose a spirit of maturity on that person in every area of their life. Maturity in their finances and the ability to balance their checkbook. Maturity in relationships with their parents, with friends. Maturity in relationship on their jobs so they'll be able to define relationships. Relationships all come together. There are no defined relationships when there's no godly teaching for children between 0 to 13. If you don't give them godly instruction, Uncle Jed from down the street is Uncle Jed from down the street, but he's also a pedophile because they have not been told and given godly instruction about the different things and the different places that people have in their lives and what is appropriate. Prostitutes are the same way. Many of them are prostituting because they feel they cannot do anything else but prostitute. And they have a pimp who has set himself up in their lives as being all-seeing, take care of you, when he has made them dependent on some drug or something, or he beats them on a regular and consistent basis. She gets to a point of arrested development. She started out with arrested development because there was no father figure. There was no one to take care of her. So now all of these different relationships all melt around into each other. When a prostitute is a prostitute, she has no circle that this pimp cannot enter into. When I'm standing, if a man gets too close to me, I start backing up because I have a circle. I don't want you in. I don't know you. You ain't going to hug me like Glenn. I don't know you. You ain't coming up in this circle like that. You know what I'm saying? And that is, that's someone that knows, that has been taught, not necessarily by godly parents, but years of deliverance and having good pastors and good elders over them that have taught them they don't have to take that. You just can't come in on my world like that. And even as I began to receive deliverance from arrested development myself, I still didn't know that that's what I was getting deliverance from. Everybody kept saying it was like, you know, schizophrenia. And you know, until you learn more, you know, you accept that. But arrested development and schizophrenia, manic depressive, and all of these things that we're talking about here today are all tied together. They never come one at a time. Wouldn't it just be wonderful if we all had one demon and we just all got delivered from that one demon and it was, glory, we're free. It never happens. Every time you think you're through with one, you're on another level and all of a sudden, you know, God got you dealing with something else. And, you know, he may have opened the door for you maybe a few years ago and you had a glimmer of, you know, something, that's not right. Why I keep doing that? But God knows when to bring you to that place where you can accept that within yourself. That's what's so good about God. He knows the very hairs on our head. And he's not going to push us beyond what our capacity is. What did the Word of God say? Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. So God is our Father. And he's not going to provoke us to anger by telling us, you know, blah, 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 when you're not ready for it. Because you're going to be angry and say, no, I ain't. No, I'm not. Mm-mm. You're not even going to believe it. But he'll wear you down. He will wear you down with love. He will wear you down showing you yourself. He will wear you down showing you yourself in your children. Where did he get that from? He will wear you down. And then finally you get to a point where it looked like me, it talked like me, it must be me. It must be some men of less like me. And you go to your private prayer closet and say, oh God, deliver me so I can deliver this child. So whenever things are really getting on your nerves with your children, oh, go to the prayer closet. God's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you something. Amen. When you're working with a person that has arrested development, you again lose a spirit of maturity. And sometimes as you do that, the person will begin to manifest a spirit of a little girl or a spirit of a little boy. And you begin to call out that spirit and call it what it is. It's a demonic spirit. It is not really the spirit of that child. And you call that spirit out and you release a spirit of maturity. You release the spirit of, you release the personality and the character that God created them to have from the beginning of time. And you begin to loose that at every age and push that and loose that upon that individual as you continue to bind arrested development and continue to lose maturity, and you'll find that even though it may take longer for a lot of people, sometimes it takes a really long time, and then sometimes it may not. It may just be that God has already brought them to a certain point, and all they need for you to do is to pray with them and to give them a certain push. And then they can go ahead and minister self-deliverance to themselves. Because sometimes all we need to know, to have is knowledge. Sometimes all we need is wisdom, godly wisdom, from someone that has a revelation about something. And all of a sudden we have an epiphany. Our mind goes, whoa, wait. That's what I've been looking for. And you go home and you begin to pray about that. So as you go past the rape and the molestation in the person, you begin to call out the personality, the character. You go past age 3, past age 5, and sometimes at 5 you're just praying. You might be praying in tongues, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will say rape, molestation. He'll just drop it in your spirit. Don't be afraid of it. Just go on and hit it. And all of a sudden the person just is all over the place, just crying. Oh, the joy, the freedom, the liberty that God is setting forth in their lives from this spirit. And continue to call it forth. And then you can spirits of arrested development that will not let them grow up. Then you can, that will cause them to be hurt, that will cause them to have. Here's another thing, and I know that you've heard these spirits before. They fall in under something else. But, oh, somebody yawning back there? Spirits of arrested development, come out of there in the name of Jesus. I don't know spirits, those Cinderella spirits. I'm waiting on Prince Charming to come. I know he's just around the corner. All I got to do is just stay right here and wait. He's going to show up. I know he is. Here he comes. Prince Charming spirits, all right? All of those Peter Pan spirits those men have. I'm never going to grow up. I'm just going to have my way. I'm going to watch this TV. I'm going to sit in this chair, and I ain't taking out the garbage today. Don't get mad. Just go to your prayer closet and bind up arrested development. And lose a spirit of maturity. Amen. Amen? See, all of these spirits, you know, they all work together. A lot of times we think mind control is the only spirit that will work with another spirit, but that's not true. Mind control works with every spirit it can work with. I don't know anybody that won't work with mind control. So if that, I mean, manipulation, control through anything, you know, through sex, through food, it don't care. Pain, it don't care. It works with anything. And so if you have that spirit of mind control working with all these other spirits, why not arrested development? It's going to come in and it's just going to work up. But the one thing it's not going to do, it's not going to let that individual go past an age of 13 and their ability to make decisions, their ability for relationships. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You may get rid of all the other fluff, and find yourself working and staying on the job a little bit longer, but then all of a sudden there's another area you just can't hit that thing and get free. Hit it and get free. Amen? Amen. sometimes children don't want to grow up because adults have caused them pain. And so you have to go to the root of it and call out pain that has been caused by adults. And I'll tell you another thing that may also help with arrested development, and that is words spoken to the child behind closed doors. That also works with women and men who are in abusive situations. Like the parent themselves may have had arrested development or been on drugs or something, or just be have a mean spirit. And when they're in front of everybody, they're just, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. And then they get the children at home, Sit up, you're good for nothing. Your daddy wasn't nothing, you ain't nothing either. Words spoken behind closed doors at the child, causing them pain, causing them to say things like, I'm never going to grow up. I'm never going to be like them when I grow up. Now that's kind of a self-inflicted curse, so you got to come against spoken word curses that the child has placed on themselves because they had so much pain in that situation, so they don't really want to grow up. At each age, God will give you something and you can call the person forth and continue to lose maturity. That's the one spirit you want to continue to lose, and the Holy Spirit will tell you other things as you go on. And lose maturity at every age level, bringing them forth, washing them with the blood of Jesus until you get them to age 9 or 10. Now that's when the fight really is on. The demons start fighting really hard and really bad at age 9 or 10 because now you're getting to that chronic offender that makes that person do things over and over again, and now you begin to go into mind control, so you can attack the spirit of mind control, attack the spirit of drugs, attack the spirit of arrested development and chronic offender separately, and tell them that they must let the person go. And many times they'll start yelling, no, 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 like a 2 or 3 year old, you know, they're not willing to go. I'm not going to let them go. And you say you must let them go because every knee must bow to the name of Jesus. And as you pull them through the age of 10 and 11, you start getting closer to the age of 13, they really start getting wild and they really start having temper tantrums and they really start to be destructive in the service because now they don't want to give up their territory. They never want to give up their territory. They start having temper tantrums and start flailing their arms and screaming and saying, I'm not going, and just slapping their arms all over everything. And by the time you get to age 13, then this demon is all over the place. I mean, you know, here you have this adult person that you're praying for, and they're acting like a 13-year-old, just spastically acting up. And so at this time, the person is actually screaming and crying, but just don't pay any attention to that. Just like you do with a spoiled child, just say, devil, shut up in the name of Jesus and come out. And that way you continue to pray for the person, continue to lose maturity on them, and begin to watch their eyes as their eyes begin to clear. And even while praying for people, you know, you look at them and you can see that they're having an epiphany as you pray for them, and they begin to help you in the process of praying. One of the things that I have noticed when you pray for people, sometimes they're not praying with you. They let you do all the work. But if you are deliverance ministers, they have a responsibility to pray along with you as you pray for them, because the Word of God says where two or three come together touching and agreeing, then, you know, He will be in the midst. So what does that mean? That means that while I am praying for you, you should be praying on the inside. And if what I'm saying is being anointed by the Holy Ghost and it's hitting, and maybe it's not hitting this time, but I got you the last time, just keep saying, help of Jesus, help of Jesus, help of Jesus. And in your mind, don't speak it out in your mouth, and watch the Lord do miracles. I believe that a lot of the reason we're not seeing a lot of the manifestations of people being set free is people don't know how to pray. They're lazy. They want you to do it for them. Like this is a microwave kind of a situation. And that can be very draining to the ministers of God. They come and they get it. They fast and pray, or however God leads them to be prepared to teach. And then you just kind of sit there and say, do me. No, I'm not going to do you. You got them demons on your own. I'll help you undo you. I got mine, and I had to fight for mine. If you don't fight for yours, that's like getting an inheritance for somebody, and they just give you the money, and you ain't got to fight for it. They just give it to you. No, you're going to sit there and throw half the money away before you know it's gone and realize that you've been given a gift that you should be taken care of. That's why you never get deliverance all at one time. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. If you want it, God says it's here for it. Come on. Now, some things you're just going to get delivered of.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there.